The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
From Memphis, Tennessee, on the banks of the mighty Mississippi, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us, that's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we made it to Friday. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. What an honor to have you with us today. Got a lot going on out there. By the way, want to go ahead and throw out our telephone number. You are going to need this if you want to call into the program today. 844-747-8868. That is a toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Our website is toddstearns.com. Up and running, the live show blog, all sorts of great things for you to check out there, including info about all of our guests today. Our good friend Lars Larson, one of my favorite talk radio hosts in America, is going to be here a little bit later. Lars talking about these attacks on motorists yesterday in Portland, Oregon, where the Antifa thugs actually pulled people out of their cars and beat the living daylights out of them right there on the streets. I'm just going to tell you, that kind of stuff does not happen in the southern states, and I will explain why a little bit later on. So we're excited to have Lars with us. Also, Billy Graham passed away several years ago. His pastor wrote a book. Can you imagine being the pastor of Billy Graham? We're going to be talking to a good friend of this program. Dr. Don Wilton's going to be here. Also, Liz Peek from Fox News Channel is going to drop by as well. And one other thing before we jump into the big story of the day, and I'm chomping at the bit here to talk about this, but we also want to wrap up our first week of welcoming our brand new affiliates, WHKP in Hendersonville, North Carolina, and KYKN in Salem, Oregon. You folks are just wonderful, and today is the final day that we'll be giving you prizes. You can always call into the show, but this week we're going to hook you up with a terrific prize package, just our way of saying welcome to the radio neighborhood. Again, 844-747-8868. Grace Baker is standing by to take your calls. Well, there's a lot of shock and awe right now across America as the unemployment and jobless numbers came out earlier today. And I think it's quite interesting when you see the reaction from the mainstream media, because the basic reporting is giving the Biden administration cover. As a matter of fact, Joe Biden is speaking at this moment, and Grace, let's monitor that, and we'll keep you up to speed in case Biden says anything coherent. But they were expecting a million jobs, and it turned out they didn't get anywhere close. As a matter of fact, this is appalling, the numbers that we are looking at, 266,000 new jobs. That's all that were created. 266,000 new jobs created last month. The Biden administration and the academic and economic experts were predicting about 1 million new jobs. So what happened? Well, the answer is very simple, ladies and gentlemen. The Democrats happened. That's what happened. Since the early days of the China virus pandemic, the Democrats, big government, the mainstream media, they have been conditioning American citizens to stay home and not work. How many people in this country are right now being paid more money to stay at home and sit on their derriere? Yes, I said it, derriere. How many people are being paid to sit on their behind as opposed to go and work and be a productive member of society? and you did not think this was going to have some sort of a consequence? We all knew this was going to happen, and it's only going to get worse. I'm telling you, it is only going to get worse. Now, the good news is that some Republican governors are fighting back, and they've come up with a pretty brilliant strategy, in my estimation. As a matter of fact, the governors of Montana and South Carolina say they will no longer participate in jobless benefits, the federal jobless benefits. So people in Montana and South Carolina, you're not going to be getting one of these checks to stay home and sit on your butts. That's not going to happen anymore. Governor Greg Gianforte, who is a friend of mine, and he's the Republican governor of Montana, said that the problem is he's heard from so many employers and they cannot find workers, especially in the hospitality industry and the construction and manufacturing industry. And the governor says, and rightfully so, that incentives matter. So what they're going to do is provide a $1,200 return to work bonus. But you're not going to get any more money if you live in Montana to stay home and sit on your behind. If you live in the Palmetto State, you are not going to be allowed to stay home and draw money just for sitting down on your butt. Not going to happen anymore. As a matter of fact, Governor Henry McMaster said that these supplemental federal payments, along with the state benefits, are actually larger than the paycheck some people are getting, and that's why they're staying home. The Democrats have done an effective job of making America lazy again. Unfortunately, we have raised a generation of young people that don't want to work. They think they're entitled to a paycheck. And we all knew this was going to happen because this is part of the conditioning of the American people to accept mediocrity. They don't want you to go out there and live the American dream. They don't want you to go out there and become very successful in the business industry or whatever your chosen career field. They don't want you to do that. They want you to go to the lowest denominator. Look, we're seeing this play out in our public school system where they are dropping honors classes. They don't want people to aspire. They want people to be mediocre. Well, I got news for you. America's not a mediocre country. We're not the most mediocre nation on earth. We are the most exceptional nation on earth. Donald Trump understood that. That's what Donald Trump was fighting for every single day. But the Democrats, they want all of us. If they had their way, we would be living in some sort of a dystopian society right now, where we would not be living in our beautiful homes with the manicured lawns and the fire pits in the backyard. No. We'd be living in these massive building complexes, public housing complexes with no character, the cinder block walls. Everybody's home is the same. No better, no less. That's what the Democrats want. This is the socialist utopia that they have been preaching about. And again, one of the ways to do that, and I was warning people, we were warning people since when we were still broadcasting in New York City, before we evacuated the Big Apple, we were telling people, be careful, because when you start giving people a one-time check, and remember, that's what they told us, this is a one-time check. And I warned you at the time that this was going to become a monthly payment if we were not careful, and people would be addicted to that. Like a Baptist kid on Chick-fil-A nuggets. And that's not a pretty sight. So look, we're going to be taking your calls here. And I'm curious, especially you business owners out there, are you struggling to find workers? And what is your recommendation here? Should we go ahead and just cancel all of these stimulus payments? What do we do? I say we reopen America. Let's get back to work. That's what I say. 844-747-8868, toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. ToddStearns.com is the website. We'll be right back.
From the front lines of the culture war, it's Todd Stearns.
starting this month. We will also deliver assistance to tens of thousands, and as I notice every Republican's in our home state talking about this as being a good idea, tens of thousands of restaurants and bars across the country. And by the way, the majority of the jobs that have come back have been in the entertainment and in those industries. And so, we're going to help schools and children and child centers across the country as well accelerate reopening, and that's underway. So, look, this is going to continue to improve.
All right, that was President Biden just a few moments ago. This is just unbelievable, the situation that the Biden administration has this country in. But I think this is intentional. And that's one of the reasons you're not hearing the Democrats freaking out like they ought to be freaking out, because this is part of their overall plan. And speaking of the progressive wing of the party, to condition this country to accept socialism. That's what's going on here, folks. All right, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Let's get to the phones here, 844-747-8868. Let's go to Ellijay, Georgia, our good friend Joe from Ellijay. Hey, Joe, what do you make of these numbers?
Todd, they're very poor numbers, and what we need to emphasize, we don't need more taxes and more spending. We need lower taxes and less spending, and that's my motto. And shows like yours, we can stop these Biden tax and spending increases. The American people do not want tax and spending increases. They want tax and spending cuts, and Todd, you and I both know the American people want that. We don't need, my goodness, it's ridiculous. We've got a great economy. We don't need any more spending increases. We need spending cuts, and we need tax cuts. Doesn't that make sense?
Well, it does. But, Joe, a few moments ago, Nancy Pelosi said the problem is we need to be spending even more money. Joe, at some point, the money's going to run out.
It is, Todd. There's no question about that. We have a $30 trillion debt, and I tell you, I really believe those shows like yours and people like Steve Moore on Fox every day, I think we can stop these increases, and I think if the American people have a motto, we need spending cuts and tax cuts, no spending increases and no tax increases, I think we can stop it, Todd, and I think your show will go a long way toward doing it, and I love what you're doing. I know your show is growing by leaps and bounds, and I'm so happy that you let me be a small part of it.
Well,
you're doing a great job,
Joe. You're kind to say that, and no, you're a great big part of the show, and we enjoy hearing from you, and you have great insight. Of course, you have made your career in the finance industry, and people need to pay very close attention to what you say. So, Joe, thank you, and good hearing from you. Have a good weekend. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis says people in his state receiving those unemployment benefits, you better get a job. You better get a job. And he says if you want to keep your unemployment benefits, you better show that you have been trying to get a job. And we're going to have to start playing hardball with these folks, with these people, folks. Otherwise, we're going to have a brand new class created in America. You're going to have people like you and me having to go and do our jobs. And our tax money is then given to people who just want to sit on their behinds and watch, I don't know, The Biggest Loser every day. All right, let's go to Little Rock, Arkansas. Dale listening to us on KARN. Hey, Dale, what's going on?
Good morning, Todd. I'm no math genius, but I wanted to put some numbers together for you on this Biden extra benefit. Arkansas minimum wage is $11 an hour. That's $4.40 a week. Now, unemployment, they get about half of that, $220. You add in Biden's benefit, that's $520. So you're talking about a $2 an hour raise for staying home and doing nothing. But here's the other kicker. Arkansas Congress passed an act back in early 2020 or the end of 19, making unemployment benefits exempt from tax for 20 and 21. That's all I've got. Love your show. Have a great day.
Dale, look, those are numbers you cannot lie about. I mean, those are the facts. And the reality is when you have a situation like this, you are making more money staying at home. People aren't stupid. And the Democrats know that. This is all part of their plan. Dale, thanks for calling in. We appreciate that. By the way, there's another report out saying that women are being impacted by all of this more so than men. And the reason why is that many women have to have childcare. Well, with the schools closed, the kids have to stay home. They can't stay home by themselves. So many moms are having to either quit their jobs or go on furlough. And then you have all of these daycare facilities. They're having to lay off folks. It's almost like the dominoes. And once you tip over the first domino, it's all over from there, folks. I'm telling you, it is a mess out there. All right, 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Now, a story we have up on ToddStearns.com, and these kinds of stories anger me. The Pentagon has stepped in and has done something that is, quite frankly, unforgivable. Now, you need to understand something about Joe Biden's Pentagon. This is a radical indoctrination force. The Pentagon does not care about our public safety. They don't care about defending freedom. They don't care about making sure no one invades our country. That's not their number one goal anymore. The Pentagon is now a social justice, on social justice war footing. That's what the Pentagon is on right now. And we have seen this played out over the past couple of weeks with a lot of the stories coming out about critical race theory, about wokeness, about white privilege being taught in the military. Well, this information just coming in to us, and we've got the story on ToddStearns.com, that Rolling Thunder will not be granted a permit to honor our fallen military on Memorial Day. They've been doing this for 30 years. Republican and Democrat presidents have signed off on these permits to allow upwards of 50,000 people to ride their motorcycles into Washington, D.C. and honor our fallen heroes. And it's a beautiful thing. If you've been there, it's jaw-dropping. It's incredibly emotional and very loud. But it's a beautiful thing. Well, the Pentagon revoked the AMVET's permit, and they said it was because of the China virus. So Congressman Brian Mast, and he's going to be on the program next week. Congressman Brian Mast is a Republican from Florida. He served in the Army. His legs were blown off during a horrible incident in Afghanistan where an IED was involved. And here's what he had to say about this. He said, "We are blessed beyond words to be citizens of the greatest country on earth. But right now in Joe Biden's America, it is easier to cross the border illegally than it is to get a permit to pay our respects to our fallen heroes." So he's absolutely right. But this is what Liz Cheney doesn't seem to understand. Elections have consequences. Because of Liz Cheney's open rebellion against her own party, Donald Trump is not the president right now. Donald Trump would have signed off on this. I have no doubt about it. So Congressman Daryl Issa from California, he's calling on President Biden to step in, intervene, and reverse the Pentagon's order. We do not know if the president is going to do that. We're going to keep you updated. But I got to tell you, it is the right thing to do. But President Biden probably thinks Rolling Thunder is, I don't know, some sort of a springtime weather anomaly. Oh, got to take a break. 844-747-8868. Should they let the motorcycles ride into D.C.? 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Good to have you with us today. By the way, ToddStearns.com is our website. our newsletter coming out a little bit later on this afternoon. So I would encourage you to sign up for this. There are a lot of great stories, very compelling stories that you will not see in big media. The drive-by media, they're not going to cover these stories, but we do. And we have a terrific, terrific staff led by Caleb Park, who is our managing editor over at ToddStarnes.com. We have now become the second largest talk radio website in America, thanks to you good people out there. So, Sean Hannity, we're coming. We're knocking on your door, Hannity. I'm just kidding. We love Sean, and they do some great work over there. So we're happy to be his number two. Let's get to the phones here, 844-747-8868. By the way, Fridays on the Todd Starnes Radio Show, open line Fridays, so we will also take calls off topic today. Otherwise, Grace tases people. At least that's what I've heard, Grace.
That's a little harsh.
Well, I'm just repeating the rumors. I don't want anybody to get tased.
I mean, no, it'd be kind of hard to tase someone through the phone anyway.
Well, you never. By the way, you would be surprised. We have ways. No, I'm just kidding. We really don't. So, Grace Baker, I mean, you have been talking. You've got a lot of friends that are recent college graduates.
Yep.
What are you hearing about the job situation out there? Are people just staying home?
Yeah, this all started, last summer when they started sending out these unemployment checks. I had friends that worked for places like Starbucks that told me, I'm getting paid more to just sit at home than I would be, going and working at Starbucks. So, I didn't totally blame them. I'm like, when the government's just handing you money, why would you? Why would you go work as a barista at a coffee shop?
It's a fair point. Now, I will say this. I think there are some people that were raised to think otherwise, even though that it does make sense. They just cannot in good conscience stay home and get a check for doing nothing.
I couldn't. I'd get bored out of my mind anyway. I got to be doing something.
Exactly, which is why you are working here on this radio program.
Yes,
so,
exactly.
All right, good stuff. Let's get to the phones. Dennis is listening to us, KARN in Arkansas. Now, Dennis, I understand you are a small business owner.
Yeah, I run a small business in Conway, Arkansas.
All right. Well, what kind of a business? Hold on, Dennis. What kind of a business is it?
We're in the metal finishing industry.
Metal finishing. All right. So what is your plight right now as a small business owner?
I typically run two shifts a day, 24 hours a day, 4 and 5 days a week. I can't find enough people to man one shift, much less two. That ain't right. It ain't right, people sitting at home drawing checks when they need to be working. I got to get up and go to work.
Dennis, I'm curious, how many jobs do you have available right now?
On average day, probably 6 jobs a day.
And
6 open.
And by and large, what would, say, someone, if they wanted to come and work for you, what would a paycheck normally look like? What do you pay by the hour?
Minimum wage.
Minimum wage.
Pay minimum wage. That's what Arkansas asked for. That's what we're going to pay.
All right, minimum wage. And so you're right now, you're telling me you have jobs available and you can't find people to work.
That's right.
Has it been like
it's
that?
It's not only us. It's all businesses in Conway, Arkansas are faced with this. This has been going on a while.
Dennis, did you ever think that we would be in a situation like this in America where the jobs are plentiful, but we can't find people that want to work?
Not in this.
Yeah, I hear you.
Obama. They got that guy up there, that Biden guy. He's just a front man. He ain't who's running it.
Dennis, you're right, and I hate to do this. We are the phone signal's a little scratchy there. But Dennis, as you heard, runs a metal finishing business in Conway, Arkansas, and he says they can't find enough people that will come in and put in a hard day's work. This is not who we are as America. You talk about a work ethic. We talk a lot on this radio program about religious liberty. And part of this Christian upbringing that we experienced in America, part of that is the idea that you put in a hard day's work. You don't go looking for a handout. Yes, there are people in life, and they have some sort of an issue where they maybe can't go out and work and do a job. I get that. But by and large, most of us are able to get up out of the bed, put on our shoes, put on the blue jeans, put on the T-shirt, and go out there and put in a hard day's work. And I'm telling you, if this country becomes lazy, it will be the end of the country. We've got to fix this problem here. We've got to fix this problem of laziness in America. Let's go to Hot Springs, Arkansas. Josh on the line. Hi, Josh. What's going on?
Hey, I just wanted to speak on your analogy of the domino effect. And I agree completely that socialism is the end game, but I don't think it's a row of dominoes. I think the first domino is Trump, and then the second domino is Biden.
You think so? And who comes after? Who comes after Biden?
Well, I don't know, but the point I'm trying to make is I don't really think they had it that far planned out ahead of time. I think it's one domino at a time, not necessarily like a literal plan that leads them anywhere. That's why all their policies make no sense.
Now, you see, Josh, I think there is a plan. And I think Barack Obama, and we've been talking about this on the program for about a year now, since Biden won, I think Barack Obama is pulling the strings here. And this is his final attempt to fundamentally transform America. That was the promise he made back in 2007, that he was going to fundamentally transform this nation. And no one ever bothered to ask what he was going to transform this nation into. And now I'm getting a pretty good idea. This is conditioning America to embrace socialism. That's all this is, Josh.
No, I agree with you on that part, but there's no way they knew that far ahead of time. They were definitely knocking one domino down at a time. They literally could not have known that far ahead of time, because then Trump would have never been elected.
Well, if true, unless they knew that they had stolen enough votes or rigged enough of these strong Democrat strongholds to push the election to the Democrats, and that is a possibility. Contrary to what Liz Cheney says,
but how would Hillary have lost then?
Oh well, they hated Hillary. Look, Josh, go back to. I was a reporter at Fox News back in that presidential cycle. And if you remember the story, they tried to portray Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton as racist in South Carolina. There's a lot of bad blood between the Obamas and the Clintons. They hated each other. And I know she was picked to be Secretary of State. But that was done out of necessity, not out of friendship, and certainly not out of love. So there was a lot of hatred there. I'm just saying, Josh, there's more to this. And at the end of the day, do not be surprised. I know this is going to sound like a stretch, but at the end of the day, when the progressives finally get a hold and control the Democrat Party, you are going to feel sorry for people like the Nancy Pelosi's of the world. Because what's coming? This is not about Nancy Pelosi. It's not about Chucky Schumer. This is about Barack Hussein Obama. And he is coming for America. He is coming after capitalism. And just like his father, he wants to declare war on the colonialist. That's what this is all about. Josh got a skedaddle, but thanks for the call. There's a lot going on behind the scenes that we still don't know about, folks. But this is a big chunk of it. You want to know why we have so much turmoil in America right now? The church has been corrupted in America. The church has been corrupted by critical race theory. You would be stunned to know that the conservative denominations like the Southern Baptist Convention, and I'm a gun-toting, Bible-clinging son of a Baptist, but the Southern Baptist Convention, some of our largest churches have been corrupted by critical race theory. And it is causing a butterfly effect on the country because our churches, by and large, have disengaged from this culture fight. And the Democrats shut them all down. I mean, you've got very powerful people like Andy Stanley, who's one of the pastors, one of the largest churches in America. And you folks listening to us on WDUN, you know all about that guy. I mean, this is a de facto left winger. And they're out there now saying, people like Andy Stanley say, you know, shame on you. We are embarrassed that you keep your church, you kept your churches open during the pandemic. I mean, there's shaming going on within the church community. And again, I think our listeners in Georgia probably know more about that. And feel free to call in 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Folks, we've got to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
It's Radio Free America. Todd Starnes.
All right, it's Friday, America, and this is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Good to have you with us today. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. If you're looking for a job, there are a lot out there, folks. I'm telling you, get out there. Get yourself a job, all right? Come on, this is that. Look, we're Americans. We don't stay home and sit on our duffs. That's what the Canadians do. Not, but we're Americans. So have some pride in you. Take some pride in your country, America. All right. Interesting story over at ToddStarnes.com. And it, I feel bad for the people in Portland, Oregon. I really do. Their city has been overrun. Weak, feckless leadership over there. And the good people of Portland deserve a whole lot better. And I know that we have a lot of listeners at our brand-new affiliate over in Salem, Oregon, at KYKN. And I'm sure you guys have personal stories about what's happening in Portland. I want to go to the Liberty University Newsmaker line. Our good friend, one of the best talk show hosts in America, Lars Larson, is on the line. Lars, how's it going?
Todd, it's going very well, except there's a reason a lot of us in the Northwest carry a gun every day legally and lawfully because of exactly what happened yesterday around 12 noon local time. I want to tell you something. This is the ugly that has been building up, not just since George Floyd, but literally for years, because people around the country are used to seeing the riot scenes from Portland and Seattle. But what they need to understand is that feckless leadership, we call him Feckless Ted, as a matter of fact, graduate of Harvard and Stanford, a scion to a big timber company. So he's a multi-millionaire and very well educated, and is about as dumb as a bag of hammers, because he has done a terrible job. He doesn't even try to respond to these people. Years ago, when Antifa surrounded the ICE headquarters in Portland, years before George Floyd died in Minneapolis, he said, "I agree with these people," and he let them do it. And they laid siege to the building for a month. So that gives you a picture. My friend Andy Ngo, the journalist, by the way, a conservative journalist, but also gay and Asian, which kind of drives the liberals crazy because they say, "You're gay and Asian. You need to be a liberal like us." And he said, "No." And he's done some great journalism. He got beat up so badly a couple of years ago, 2019, that he went to the hospital. The doctors told him, "You have a brain bleed. It may affect you for the rest of your life." 2 years later, nobody caught, nobody pursued by the authorities. Those are the data points you need to understand to get a picture of what happened yesterday. So a man who I'm going to talk to on my show a little later on today, Joe Hall, I don't know him personally, but his friends reached out and said, "Joe's in the hospital, but he's willing to talk to you about what happened." A mob of Antifa surrounded his car, his truck, pickup truck. They forced him out. He pulled a gun, which he was carrying legally, and they grabbed him on video and beat him to the ground.
And Lars, we have this. And Lars, we have the video of this attack on our website, ToddStarnes.com.
I hope you beeped out all the F-bombs, because there's a bunch of them.
Well, we were going to try to play some of the audio to give people an idea, but you can't. I mean, it was just be 3 minutes of just beeping. Lars, the police department issued a statement. They said a number of motorists were attacked yesterday by these armed Antifa domestic terrorists. I mean, it was horrifying what we saw in that video.
which means it's not a matter of saying, well, stay away from where they're having one of these events. Because number one, the events happen in all parts of this city. They've happened in all parts of a number of cities. They don't stay in one place. They often march from one neighbor to another. And they have made it a practice for years, not since George Floyd, 4 years, to if you happen to be driving through the area and you find yourself confronted by this mob surrounding your car, if you try to push through them with your car, you'll be accused of a crime, and drivers have been. If you stay where you are, they'll break your windows. They may drag you out of the car. They may do violence to you. If you pull a gun to protect yourself, one man named Mike Strickland who did that, he actually had his arm broken previously, so he knew Antifa's tactics. He pulled out a gun that he carried legally. It was out of his holster for 4.5 seconds. He is now a 12 times convicted felon for merely pulling the gun, pointing it, getting the crowd to back down, and immediately holstering it. It was all caught on video, so I know it was 4.5 seconds that gun was out of the holster. Now, imagine this. You cannot defend yourself. You cannot avoid it. It may come to your neighborhood. You may run into it inadvertently. So this isn't just if you happen to be a looky-loo who's gone down to watch from the fringes as Antifa does yet another day of property destruction and assaults and riots and looting and murders. You can't. So what are you supposed to do? Move somewhere else?
Look, it's a fair question, Lars. And look, this is going to be a fascinating interview today on your program. Folks, we have a link to Lars Larson and all of his great work over on our live show blog. Lars, we're going to have to leave it there. You know how the business is. We got a top of the hour news break coming up here. So thank you. And thanks for the good work you're doing, sharing and really informing the rest of America about the dangers there in Portland.
Todd, you're a great friend, and you've managed to hire some really professional people like Grace, so congrats for that as well.
Well, you're kind to say that. And, Lars, thanks a lot, because now she's going to want another raise. Thanks, Lars. All right, Lars Larson, ladies and gentlemen, and Lars is right. Don't tell Grace I said this, but we really do have the best folks in the business here on the Todd Stearns Radio Show. I just don't tell Grace that. Don't want to get the big head, you know. All right. Hey, wow. Coming up, Liz Peek is going to drop by, a Fox News columnist. And also, a heads up, we're coming up on a tight break here. So if you're on hold, we have Ruth in Oregon, Vern in Arkansas. Hang tight, guys. We're going to get to your calls right after the break. But I do want to share a word with all of you about our brand new app that is now live and available. And we want you to go to the App Store. It doesn't cost you a penny, but you'll be able to download the KWAM, KWAM app, and you'll be able to listen to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. You'll even be able to listen to Lars's show, along with Sebastian Gorka, Larry Elder, and Ben Shapiro. You'll be able to do that free of charge on the KWAM app, KWAM. So just go to the App Store, type in KWAM, and you'll be able to download the app, and you can listen to us all over the world. And that's especially important for you folks in Little Rock, Arkansas, as they get ready to make a change 11 to 2. And we want you to still listen to our radio program, and you'll be able to do that thanks to the KWAM app, which is now up and running. And we'll be telling you more about it in the coming days. But again, KWAM app for you to listen to the radio show 24/7. Okay, folks, that music means we've got to scoot out of here. We will be right back. Open line Friday, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show.
Coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee. It's common sense conservative commentary from Todd Stearns.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Hey, Grace Baker.
Yes.
Do you have any cash on you right now? Like dollar bills?
You know, I can go check.
So, you know, Little Stearns is playing in a football game this afternoon.
Uh-huh. Oh.
And so I got to – they're charging admission.
Yep.
You know, everybody's got to make some money.
Yep.
I need $5.
I played sports. I understand. I can go check in my fanny pack downstairs.
I'm sorry, what?
My fanny pack.
What is a
– you not see – I wear a fanny pack now.
Well, I typically don't look at your fanny, but – Okay.
Okay, Don. I wear a fanny pack now because I'm training my dog. So I put everything in there, and then I don't have to, like, carry a purse.
Wow. Did you ever think that back when you were in college that we would be having this conversation on national radio right now?
I blame myself because I brought it up, but
all right.
I can check.
I'm not judging about your fanny pack.
The treats and the clicker in there.
That makes sense. You got to put it somewhere.
Exactly.
I understand. Well, that does make sense. Anyway, I need $5.
$5.
And I don't think they take a credit card.
Get you some petty cash upstairs.
That might work.
You know, we keep a lot up there.
But you know what's interesting? This whole cashless, you know, during the pandemic,
yeah,
a lot of businesses just would not accept cash anymore.
No.
So I typically don't walk around with a wad of cash.
I don't either.
It's a new society.
They don't take Venmo.
Hey, I've got, well, there you go. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to share this story with you. Someone just sent this to me, and I'm fascinated by this. So former President George W. Bush has gone woke, and it's a sad thing. And I think maybe, you know, the guy's a painter now. He does watercolors, and maybe, just maybe, he's in an enclosed room without a lot of ventilation. Maybe the fumes, I don't know. Anyway, President Bush was doing an interview with a guy named Russell Moore, who is president of the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission of the Southern Baptist Convention. This is a full-blown woke division of the Southern Baptist, and they have completely embraced critical race theory and the whole social justice malarkey. I mean, quite frankly, they sound like a bunch of liberal Methodists, but I digress. So they're doing this interview, and this is from CapstoneReport.com. And President Bush is promoting immigration reform, and he had something to say about churches, specifically white evangelical churches. I'm curious to get your thoughts about this. So President Bush said that white evangelical churches need a revival of mission. In other words, President Bush is saying that all of you evangelical churches out there, you are the problem with America right now. You are the problem. And this Russell Moore guy, by the way, huge Never Trumper, huge. This guy, big time Never Trumper. And let me give you an idea of what this guy is all about. So years ago, this is back in 2016 when Trump was getting ready to run. And so Russ Moore was going out there and he was poking President Trump in the media, then candidate Trump. And he was saying all these horrible things about Donald Trump. And then he was saying all these horrible things about people who support Donald Trump, and talking about how the people who support Donald Trump within the evangelical community, he compared them to Jimmy Swaggart. He called them the Jimmy Swaggart wing of evangelicalism. So you say, who is Jimmy Swaggart? Well, back in the 1980s, Jimmy Swaggart was a very well-known television evangelist. And he had this thing about, you know, when he would get really passionate, he would tear up and he would cry, a very emotional, passionate guy. So anyway, he got caught in a seedy motel with a woman who was not his wife. A sidewalk Sally. So keep in mind, Russell Moore. So Russell Moore is now describing the Southern Baptists and the evangelicals who supported Donald Trump, compared them to a television evangelist who cheated on his wife with a whore in a seedy motel. You understand. You don't make this stuff up, folks. You can Google it. So anyway, they're having this conversation, and President Bush says, Dr. Moore says, what would return evangelical Christians to advocacy for immigrants and refugees? Now, let me stop you right here for a moment. This is a disingenuous question. Because evangelicals, and I'm going to say conservative Catholics and evangelicals, they care greatly about immigrants. They care greatly about refugees. What we've got a problem with are the illegal aliens who are literally running over the legal immigrants and the refugees, shoving them out of the way so they can invade our country. That's who we have a problem with. But people like Russell Moore, when they ask questions like this, this is really sick and sinister. And shame on people like Russell Moore for doing this. They should know better. But you need to understand something. You say, why is Todd talking about religion? It's Friday. Can't we talk about something else? Well, the reason why, ladies and gentlemen, is because the Southern Baptist Convention is the largest Protestant denomination in America. The Catholics, the largest denomination in America. And we know the Catholics have gone woke. You've got that crazy communist pope. And now the Southern Baptist Convention has gone woke. And when you've got the two largest religious groups in America going full-blown woke, we're screwed. That's all. And that's why we need to have this conversation. So anyway, President Bush says that evangelical churches are falling prey to an inappropriate focus on politics. And he says, it seems to me that churches, particularly the white evangelical churches, have become political instruments. And until there is a religious awakening, there may not be a proper view of immigration within American churches. So Bush is saying, all of you white people, how dare you talk about religion in the church or politics in the church house? How dare you do that? Just curious, has George W. Bush ever seen a black church during political season where you've got every politician in America standing in front of a, standing behind a pulpit, dropping their G's and preaching and carrying on, and Hillary Clinton pretending like she's a black woman? I ain't tired, no ways, no how. I see ya. Unbelievable. That's okay. That's all right. But how dare you white people, you Caucasian people, you honkies out there, how dare you defend freedom from the pulpit? Now, I'm just going to go out on a limb here and suggest that the men involved in this conversation that you can see, by the way, it's all on video at capstonereport.com, that these men are just ignorant. Because when you go back and look at the history of America, you realize that our nation was birthed in the church house. Yes, and Sam Adams Saloon. Yes, but put that aside for a moment. But the teetotalers were in the church house. And the point is, you need everybody, by the way. You need the pious and the pubs, if you will. But regardless, there was a movement back in the creation in the early days of our country to birth freedom in the church house. You had many pastors preaching passionately about politics and freeing ourselves from the tyranny of the British, from the pulpits of the church. And I have to say, thank God Almighty, that George W. Bush was not one of our founding fathers. Thank God Almighty that Russell Moore of the Southern Baptist Convention was not one of our founding fathers, or else we would still be speaking with a strange accent and drinking hot tea and eating crumpets. They're trying to silence the church in America. That is a dangerous thing that George Bush is trying to do here. It is a dangerous thing that these Southern Baptist leaders are doing. And I'm very curious to know from you, ladies and gentlemen, do you believe that we should be talking about politics in the church house? Do you believe the church should be engaged in the culture? Or do you believe, as President Bush does, that you white evangelical churches just need to shut the hell up? 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
About to back up and bring it. It's Todd Starnes.
I don't feel no ways tired. I'm too far from where I started from. Nobody told me that the road would be easy. I don't believe he brought me this far to leave me.
Lord help us almighty. Hallelujah. Thank you, Hillary. You know, it's interesting. Whenever we have a Republican primary and the candidates from the northern states come down south and then they start dropping their G's, you know what I'm talking about, Mitt Romney, and they drop their G's, and Mitt Romney was out there talking about, what was it back in the day? Oh, yes, he was down in, I believe, Mississippi. Oh, yes, I love the grit. Oh, it's delicious. I love shrimp and grit. It's very good. Yeah, nobody loves grits, sir. That's because, and they're the white grits. And that's why I knew he was lying. Because everybody knows in the Deep South, you don't eat the white grits. You eat the yellow grits. You don't eat the yellow cheese snow, but grits. You eat the cheese grits. Yes, because and they're fresh ground.
Shrimp and grits, one of my favorites.
Fresh
wishes.
Ground. So Mitt Romney was a, you know what, sir? That was a load of hooey. And then the other problem, and you know these people are fake, Mitt Romney ate a piece of fried chicken with a knife and a fork. That's why he lost the presidential election. Nobody does that. I mean, come on. Who was it? The communist de Blasio up in New York City eating his pizza with a knife and fork. I'm surprised he made it out of the pizza joint alive. Welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Great to have you with us. 844-747-8868. Open line Friday. Let's go to Salem, Oregon. Ruth is hanging out with us on KYKN. Ruth, how are you today?
I'm just fine. Greetings. Coming on to KYKN. I've been listening to them ever since I moved to the area in 96, I think. And the station was just down the street from my place, and I know the owner. Anyway, I know that the Democrats won't do this, but the solution to these unaccompanied minors, which really bothers me as a teacher, I know what this huge amount of immigrants have done to our school system and what a problem it is. And actually, I'm a bilingual teacher. Not at the moment. I'm retired. Anyway, if they would just find out who the parents or guardians of these kids are and then charge them in court in absentia for child abandonment and child endangerment, they would be declared felons. They would never be. They'd never be eligible to immigrate. They quit sending their kids up here.
Now, Ruth, this is a pretty straightforward, brilliant idea, and of course, one that the government will not implement. But I am curious what teachers are going through, and what are they having to do to accommodate all these illegals?
Well, I'll give you an example. Now, this was some years ago. I had. In Kaiser, Oregon, that's where KYKN is. I'm in Salem now. I had a duplex. I had friends who moved into it because they lost their house because he lost his job for a while. They had grade school, junior high kids. They built a brand new grade school and junior high just up the road from us, about half a mile. And the daughter was there until she was in early junior high, and she was a straight A student. Then they finally got their finances together and were able to rent a house a little bit further north. And she went into what was considered one of the best junior highs in the district. And all of a sudden, she was getting straight C's. In other words, there was such a high percentage of immigrant kids in those schools that they had dropped the level of the school down so far that the good students weren't getting an education.
No,
and this is what's happening all over.
Ruth, it's the dumbing down of America in our public school classrooms.
Exactly. And the last years I taught in California, I was doing bilingual. And I'm in favor of bilingual, actually. What they need to do is give these, but they need to bring South American and Central American teachers up here and take these Mexican kids who have no education. I used to call them the no language kids because I would test them, and oftentimes they didn't have enough English or Spanish to learn anything with. And so they need to bring those in. They need to put them in an intensive program where they bring them up to level in their language while they're doing some English on the side. And then when they're up to the level in their language, then push like mad to get to English. So many of these kids can't learn in English because they never learned anything in Spanish. I had a student who came into me in the fifth grade, a brilliant girl. But she was from a Mexican school. She did not know that sentences ended with periods, started with capital letters, and there was such a thing as a paragraph. In 2 years,
it's unbelievable.
She was in the full English program making straight A's.
Now, Ruth, we're going to have to leave it this conversation here. I don't want you to hang up because we want to be able to send you a lovely gift here as one of our brand new listeners. And we're just so excited that that you have called in. Give us a holler back one of these days. We're going to put you on the hold, and Grace is going to get your information. But Ruth is right, folks. I mean, this is about the dumbing down of America. And many teachers, many school districts are having to reallocate resources away from American boys and girls to accommodate the influx of illegal alien children, many of whom have not been educated, many of whom do not speak English. And we're talking about millions and millions of dollars that school districts are having to invest. I want to draw your attention to a story we have up on our website, and there's video that goes along with this. These Pajama Boy snowflakes, the ones that are out there, and they get triggered if you show up in a grocery store and you're not wearing a face mask, and they go bonkers. Well, we have some new video here of one of these yahoos attacking a pregnant woman who was not wearing a face mask. She was minding her own business. She's in the grocery store checkout line, and here's what happened.
Hi, yep, right here, right there. No mask, right there. There we go. Candy camera. There we go. I want you to know that your insensitivity is ridiculous. I no longer have grandparents due to this virus because of people like you who don't want to wear a mask in the store. It's ridiculous, actually. It's insensitive and it's disgusting as a human being for you to show so much privilege to all of these people. There are so many older people in here who have health conditions, other people.
Oh, great.
Oh, whoop-de-doo. Congratulations for your pregnancy. It's ridiculous. And I want you to know that. You're on candid camera. And I want you to know that. 4K. Thanks.
Oh, no, you're just not on HD. You're on 4K. And whoop-de-doo, you're pregnant? Whoop-de-doo. Whoop-de-doo on you, you horrible pregnant woman. How dare you? Now, look, I feel bad for the guy. He said that he lost his grandparents to the China virus. Is that what he said? And that's a horrible thing, but... Well, maybe the grandparents just stopped taking the meds because of that grandkid. I mean, geez, aloo. Here's what you do, by the way. Take a pork and beans and just have a toss. We'll be right back. All right, so Joe Biden says that the horrific April jobs report is evidence the economy is actually moving in the right direction. Wow. All right, let's check in at the Liberty University Newsmaker line. Our good friend, Fox News contributor, great columnist, our good friend Liz Peek. Hey, Liz, how's it going today?
Excellent, excellent. Thanks for having me on.
So, Liz, Biden just said that, hey, this is nothing to be feel bad about. We're heading in the right direction now.
Well, you know, I think secretly Joe Biden was delighted by the jobs report, as disappointing as it was, because it gives him a platform to argue for more spending. And after all, his entire pitch since he was inaugurated and since he pushed the $1.9 trillion excessive American Rescue Plan has been our economy is in deep, deep hole. He talked about that again today. And it's going to take a long, long time for us to get out. And basically, he wants Americans to write him a blank check to allow him to spend, what, $6 trillion this year on getting us out of that hole. But the answer is he's got his foot on the brake and the accelerator at the same time. And like any beginning driver, that isn't working out very well. I mean, he's at the same time that he's pushing hundreds of billions of dollars into the economy and supporting even more trillions down the road, he's also asking Americans and Congress to pass enormous tax hikes, which obviously are going to be a major speed bump for our recovery. So I thought his comments were interesting. I loved his complete dismissal of the idea that unemployment benefits were actually creating a disincentive for people to go back to work. Something, I think the number is 50% or 45% of people on unemployment are actually making more money with those extended benefits than they would if they went back to their jobs. Obviously, that's a problem. Every employer, dozens of employers have gone on cable news to say, hey, this is really an issue for us. We can't hire our people back. And yet Joe Biden dismissed it out of hand. A man who's never created a job, never held a private sector job. He knows all about business if someone tells him.
Well, you know, anyway. You know, Liz, earlier in the show, we had a guy call in. He owns a company. They are trying to hire a lot of workers. They pay, I think, $11 an hour or so is the going rate there. And he says they can't find anybody willing to work because they are making more money staying at home and getting a check from the government.
Yeah, well, I mean, honestly, the anecdotal evidence of this is gigantic. So many, particularly the businesses that have just recently reopened, like restaurants and hotels, hospitality industry businesses, who pay, generally speaking, pretty low wages, right? So if you have people in your kitchen or whatever, and you were closed, you laid those people off, and those are the people you're trying to hire back, and it's impossible. A recent survey from the National Federation of Independent Businesses that represents, it's the biggest small business lobby in the country, 42% of their members said that they were having trouble for exactly this reason, that they're having trouble getting people to come back to work. That's not nothing. And this is something that Congress has created. The Chamber of Commerce came out today and is pitching Congress to take it back. There's no way that's going to happen. I don't think once you tell the American people you're going to provide a benefit for a certain amount of money for a certain number of months that you rescind that. So this is a problem that's going to last, you know, for the next couple of quarters, and it's completely self-inflicted.
Well, of course, and I think we were all telling the government back in the day when they announced this, be careful,
yeah,
because this could become a regular monthly check, and I think that's going to devastate not just our economy, Liz. I think this devastates the culture of America.
Well, it isn't great. I mean, there's, 11 million people receiving these extended benefits or whatever now. I think people eventually will, look, people are rational. If you told me that I didn't have to do anything and I'd be better off, you know, I'm not stupid. I'm going to say, okay, I'll go back to work when this ends, when these checks peter out. And there will still be a job there for me, I'm pretty sure, because they need workers. And that, of course, is the big lie. The big lie from the beginning of the Biden administration has been that the economy was in shambles, that we needed enormous amounts of stimulus money and so forth to put it back on its feet. And honestly, I really believe that's wrong. I think if the administration had just stepped aside, let the vaccines roll out, let businesses reopen. Here's why, Todd. First of all, there was about $2 trillion left unspent from bills that were passed last year. So that's an awful lot of money that's still flowing into the economy. Secondly, there's $2 to $3 trillion of unusual savings, excess savings that have piled up over the last year because people couldn't spend it anywhere. You know, you had a nice income if you were lucky and you didn't get really dinged by COVID, but at the same time, you couldn't go on a trip, you couldn't buy a lot of things, you weren't going to move into a new house, et cetera, et cetera. So that's $2 trillion ready to stimulate the economy, and the money supply has grown at such an extraordinary rate that there's $4 trillion on the sidelines in excess money supply. So that's a lot of stimulus. Forget the fiscal side. We didn't need it. We didn't need this $1.9 trillion bill that came out of Congress. So, you know, I think literally if Biden had just done nothing, just let the forces at play continue, he would be a much more successful president right now than he is going to be and than he is. And the reason I say that is the polling shows Biden to be sort of average, as we all know, actually not quite average, approval ratings for someone who's pretty new in office. If he had just stepped aside, A, you wouldn't have this big controversy about how he wasn't doing anything on a bipartisan basis, and he was sort of abrogating that pledge that he made during his campaign. And B, you wouldn't have people alarmed about inflation and excess spending, et cetera.
Good point.
It would have been a really much better path to follow, I think.
That is a fair point. Liz, we are going to have to leave it there. Always good hearing from you. LizPeak.com, folks, if you want to get more information about her great work. Liz, thanks a lot. Have a great weekend.
Thanks for having me on. Take care.
All right. I want to go back to this audio we played from the grocery store. And, we've created a whole nother class of morons in America. These people that are out there, and Grace, you know what I'm talking about. You see them. I was driving around town the other day, and somebody was wearing two face masks and a face shield in their car by themselves.
I think what drives me just as much is people will be walking at a park by themselves, away from other people, and they're wearing a mask. I just don't get that. I've never understood that.
And they make it a point to come out to you and, you know, get up into your face and say, "How dare you endanger me?" And I'm like, "Whoa, dude, back up. Just back up."
I thankfully have not experienced that yet.
But now you have this class of men, and these are, I blame Hillary Clinton for this.
Hillary Clinton?
Yeah, the metrosexual pajama boy snowflake crowd. You know, they...
What did Hillary Clinton do for... I feel like there's other people to blame.
Well, yes,
everything's Hillary's fault.
Well, it is.
It's easy to blame her.
Because instead of mom and dad raising the kid, you had a whole village raising the kids. And unfortunately, that means the village idiot was involved in the process.
Whoa.
And, you know, it is what it is.
This is what we get.
It's horrible. Well, you remember, and then Obamacare. Remember the guy with the black glasses wearing the pajama pants? I mean, come on, guys, you know. So here you have this guy in a grocery store, and he's going up, and he's attacking this poor pregnant woman who's just standing in line, paying for whatever she bought, I guess ice cream and pickles, and... Here's what happened. All right, so we've got this audio. Do we have the audio here, guys? All right, let's take a listen to this.
Yep, right here. Right there. No mask. Right there. There we go. Candy camera. There we go. I want you to know that your insensitivity is ridiculous. I no longer have grandparents due to this virus because of people like you who don't want to wear a mask in the store. It's ridiculous, actually. It's insensitive and it's disgusting as a human being for you to show so much privilege to all of these people. There are so many older people in here who have health conditions, other people.
Oh, great.
Oh, whoop-de-doo. Congratulations for your pregnancy. It's ridiculous. And I want you to know that. You're on candid camera. And I want you to know that. 4K. Thanks.
Now, and part of me feels bad for this guy. Clearly, his voice did not change. Whatever happened in the process of, you know, from boyhood to manhood, skipped over. I mean, it's, you know, we don't judge, but clearly the guy has a lisp, and I'm just describing Grace what the guy sounds like. But here's what I would have done with this lady, because the guy's getting up in her grill, and nobody wants that. So. I would have taken, and this is why it's always good, it doesn't matter if you need them or not, but get yourself a big old can of Van Camp, the pork and beans. You've seen them. One of the big old, the size you would get at the Costco. And just put it in your basket. So if you get mugged, or if you're standing in line minding your business, and you get harassed by one of these pajama boy snowflakes, you can just use that as a weapon of defense. You know, just hurl the pork and beans. Or better yet, just grab one of those pineapples, you know, the fresh pineapples, not the Dole in the can, but the kind you actually get in the produce section, and just grab it by the prickly part and just, you know, administer justice that way. That's all I'm saying. Got to take a break. We'll be right back.
Triggering microaggressions from coast to coast. It's Todd Starnes.
All right, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Let's go right to the Liberty University Newsmaker line. A bit of news involving Facebook and censorship. Now, many of you follow the work of a journalist at LifeSiteNews.com, and they do a lot of great work and good stories. They have now been removed and are being removed from Facebook because they violated their China virus vaccine policies. Well, here to help us understand what's going on from LifeSiteNews.com, Stephen Cox. Stephen, good to have you with us today.
Thanks for having me, Todd. Absolute pleasure to be speaking with you.
All right. So tell us what's going on here. What did you guys do?
Well, this week, Tuesday, we received a notice from Facebook that we had violated their COVID policy, saying that we, in our reporting, could contribute to, quote, physical harm, and that we were sharing vaccine-discouraging information. We were permanently banned on Facebook, where we have over 200,000 followers. We are not eligible to appeal this decision. Facebook informed us that this was primarily due to a story we ran titled COVID Vaccines Can Be Deadly for Some. Now, what's important to understand about that story is that all that story did was pass along data that's already available by the CDC's own website, the Vaccine Adverse Events Reporting System. So we passed along information in that story about people who have been having adverse reactions to the vaccine, you know, trouble breathing. Some people say that they died because of it. It's very soon after. And this is all readily available on the government's own website. And so we ran that story and published it, and Facebook said, that's it. You're sharing disinformation, and you're done.
So it doesn't matter that all the information you had was out there, it was verified, it was factually accurate, but just because they disagreed with it, they're shutting you guys down.
Right, and they've been doing this for quite some time. As you know, Todd, we've been kicked off YouTube already. We were banned on Twitter several months ago. And really what it seems to us is that it's really because we're just sharing information that the alternative and big pharma-owned media doesn't want out there. You know, we're reporting on individuals who are having adverse reactions. We're reporting on doctors who are saying, look, alternative treatments, zinc, azithromycin, ivermectin, that is working on my patients. We're reporting on mass studies that people don't seem to want out there. So everything we're putting out there is factual, but it just doesn't go with the preferred narrative of the mainstream media.
On the Liberty University Newsmaker line, Stephen Cox from LifeSiteNews.com. Stephen, how is this impacting the work you guys are trying to do at LifeSite News?
Well, we've known this is coming, has been coming for a while. Like I said, we've already been kicked off YouTube and Twitter. We've taken preventative measures in the previous months and even the past couple years because we knew this is where things were going. So we've really tried to make sure our audience is receiving our stories, We've moved to Rumble. We're on all the alternative major platforms, MeWe, Telegram, Gab. And really right now, Todd, what it's about is making sure our viewers and our page readers are getting our information through their emails. Because the problem is we cannot rely on big tech anymore, social media giants, Facebook, Twitter. They don't want us out there. And so we've really migrated towards a one-on-one interaction with our supporters. We're getting people to sign up for our emails, and that's the best way to get in touch. So we're on these lifeboats. We're trying to survive. But, yeah, we've been doing a great job at it, and all of our alternative platforms have been really helpful for us to keep getting that truth out that Big Pharma just simply does not want to get out.
Unbelievable. Well, Stephen, we appreciate you coming on for a few moments and bringing us up to speed here. I know we have a lot of our listeners that follow you guys. And, of course, folks, you can follow LifeSiteNews.com on all the alternative social media platforms as well. Stephen, good luck out there and keep us updated.
Thanks, Todd. I very much will.
All right. Stephen Cox from LifeSiteNews.com, and they really are trying to shut folks down. And, of course, the big news this week, Facebook says President Trump still not welcome on their social media platform. All right, coming up after the top of the hour news break, very excited. We have a great guest coming up, a guy by the name of Don Wilton. He was Billy Graham's preacher and has written a brand new book. It just came out. They had a huge book signing over at the Billy Graham Library, and we're going to be talking to him about the book and the relationship he had with America's evangelist. And by the way, Speaking of books, you can go right now and pre-order my new book. It's my very first non-political book called Our Daily Biscuit, Devotions with a Drawl. You know, we got to get President Trump to endorse that. We'll see what we can do about that. He does like KFC, so, you know, he might like biscuits too. Who knows? You can pre-order the book, ToddStearns.com, or wherever you buy your books. Our Daily Biscuit will be in bookstores in July. All right, folks, got to take a quick break, and we will be back. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show.
Coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee. It's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging deplorable.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Stearns. Oh,
yeah. Hey, that's me. Hello, America. How's it going today, everybody? Welcome to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. It is Friday, and I got to tell you, it's been a busy week around here. It's been a lot of fun. But, Grace Baker, I am ready for the weekend. I'm ready to kick back and just hang out this weekend.
I just want to go see my dog.
How's Merlo?
She's wonderful.
Now,
I miss her.
We were having a conversation during one of the commercial breaks, and apparently you are, what, potty training or house training your dog? Is
of
that
course.
Right? The Dalmatian.
Yeah, you got to start that right away.
So for all of our listeners in Hendersonville, North Carolina and Salem, Oregon, this has been something of an ordeal as we have followed Grace from the birthing process all the way to where we are now.
The journey of dog motherhood.
So this is interesting because our family, we were fairly old school when it came to the pets. So
okay. There
was, you know, when you were training well, except for the cat. Who, you know.
Cats are different.
Cats have their own thing.
Okay.
But you would basically, you know, swat the dog, you know, on the, you know, with like a little newspaper, you know, like, and say no. And then they would go out, they would learn to go outside to do their duty.
That's a terrible.
But that's old school now, apparently.
Yeah, it's
so
not a great
there's a
way
newfangled to way to potty train your dog, is what you were telling me.
Well, yeah, I mean, I take her out, you know, every so often, and we do the same thing every time we go out. We ring a bell that's attached to the doorknob and say, time to go potty, and I take her out, and she goes. And if she goes inside and I catch her in the act, I pick her up and take her straight outside and say, time to go potty outside, even if she doesn't go again.
You don't rub the nose, like the dog's nose
nope.
in and say, no!
Nope, it's terrible.
No!
Nope. They have no idea what that means.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah, and if it's after, that's even worse. If you find a puddle, you just clean it up and move on. Because if you find a puddle and bring them to the puddle and put their nose in it, they're like, what the heck? What did I do?
You did wrong. And don't do it again.
Positive reinforcement.
And then they won't chew up the newspaper because they're scared of the newspaper, too.
Ooh.
But they don't have newspapers anymore, so
yeah,
I guess.
I got to watch her chewing up my phone.
So you've trained your dog to, your dog eats electronics.
She'll try to help me on my phone. She like tries
goat?
To nibble on the corner, and I'm like, what are you doing?
It's just not a Dalmatian. It's a goat with a skin problem. So this is like, is it like a church bell or like a little ding, 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 like on a screen door? What kind of a bell are we talking about here?
Oh, gosh, just like a little something you'd see in like, you know, that like a cat, almost it looks like a cat toy.
Does it go over like the kind you have when you walk in and to an establishment and you want to talk to somebody?
Yes,
you got to hit the
ding.
Bell. So
that okay. kind of a sound.
I see.
It's a bell that just hangs down like a little rope.
I'm
and
just
they don't bark to go out. They just ring.
I'm okay, but the dog knows. So when the dog rings the bell, you know that it's time to go take the dog out.
Yes. Now we do not ring the bell when we go outside to play. That's a whole different thing. Because then the dog will just ring the bell all the time.
Honk a horn or something?
No, we just go outside.
Ooga, or something like that?
No. When she rings the bell, it means it's time to do business.
I've never heard of such a thing. All right. So anyway, but it's working, so the dog is ringing the bell?
Yes. I was told by my husband she rung it twice today to go outside, and we've only had her 2 weeks.
My goodness.
She's smart.
I was over at somebody's house once, and they I saw that there was a mess, and you know, I was like, bad dog, and it turned out it was hummus. So
Oh, jeez. Oh, don't even get me started with hummus. I like hummus.
Phoenix.
At the restaurant. Only.
You know, it does look like it. I'm just going to say.
I know.
Phoenix, Arizona, Popeyes. You know, I used to work at Popeyes, Grace. Did I tell you this story?
No.
That was my job in high school. I worked at Popeyes Fried Chicken and Biscuits.
I didn't know that.
And it was a hard job. It was a lot of work. And, you know, my job, you know, they always get the new kids. And you have to mix the spices with the chicken.
Sure.
And basically you're dealing with pure cayenne pepper. And it's, you know, your hands turn the color of Donald Trump. And then you're like, you know, you're in pain. So you have to go home and you have to, like, put your hands in milk to ease the sting of the cayenne pepper.
Some kind of gloves?
Okay, it was back in the 80s, all right? Oh. We weren't all that concerned about, you know. We weren't ringing bells for dogs.
Who cares about hygiene?
We sure weren't eating hummus. That was the 80s. When America was America, by God.
Everything was fried.
In Phoenix, Arizona, a Popeye's Fried Chicken employee apparently is in big trouble because they misgendered an individual.
Oh, no.
This is coming from Not the Bee. For this murderous and heinous crime, the trans person thought it would be best to scream at an entire restaurant and throw a tantrum. We can't play the video. We can't play the audio because it is filthy. I have never heard such language coming out of a transgender person. So anyway, they were very upset because what the guy called. So let me get this straight. So the guy is a dude, but he thinks he's a woman. Is that right? This is all very confusing for me, Grace. It really is.
I know. I can't keep up with it.
All right. Well, so using the Popeye's vernacular, so the guy's a rooster, but he thinks he's a chicken.
Yes.
Okay. I just want to make sure we've got that. So,
a hint, if you will.
So anyway, the guy's upset because the employee said, so, sir, that would be a three-piece with slaw and red beans and rice. And he said, I'm not a sir, I'm a ma'am. And all hell broke loose.
Oh, my gosh. Like, just correct the person, fine, whatever, move on. What in the world?
So we had this conversation yesterday about speaking about transgender folks. So Caitlyn Jenner is running for governor in California as a Republican. And Grace, I was really surprised by the response from our listeners.
I was kind of, too. I just call Caitlyn Jenner. I just say Jenner. Like, I don't even.
Here's the thing. I believe that God creates male and female.
Yes,
I don't believe in trans. Do you believe in transgenderism?
No.
All right. So you're a male and female kind of
I'm a science
gal.
Person. Yes.
You follow the science. And I follow the book of Genesis. So anyway, yesterday on the show, we only talked about this briefly. And I thought we could open up the phones here on this one. So my question is, and by the way, we don't use the pronoun. I say Caitlyn Jenner. So Caitlyn Jenner wants to be called Caitlyn Jenner, and that's great. Okay, fine, Caitlyn Jenner. Or the Jenner formerly known as Bruce.
Just say Jenner.
Or you can say Jenner. But I don't get into the pronouns. We're not going to do that because that's denying science. So anyway,
it's a waste of time.
Caitlyn Jenner is running for governor, and I hate to say this, but right now Caitlyn Jenner is the most conservative and Republican of all the candidates running, including the guy who's traveling around campaigning with a giant grizzly bear or brown bear or something.
Oh, it's a grizzly bear.
Oh, it is a grizzly bear.
It looks like one. It's huge. Have you seen it?
You know what's going to happen. He's going to be at some event, you know, like hugging the kids. And the next thing you know, the bear's going to be like having an appetizer.
It's Yogi Bear. Time for a picnic with the children.
Jeez-a-loo. Wait a second. We've got five kids here. We've only got four.
Where'd the other one go?
What happened to little Laquan? What's going on here? It's a terrible thing. So anyway, I'm curious because we have some audio, and I want you to hear this ad. I think it's probably one of the best campaign ads I've seen. But here's the question, and we're going to open up the phones here. If Caitlyn Jenner is the only conservative Republican running for governor in the state of California, what do you do?
I mean, did you ever think those words would come out of your mouth? No. That's why I'm just laughing over here because I'm like, I can't believe, what a world. 2021, let's go.
You know, I thought Schwarzenegger was sort of pushing it. And remind me to tell you, I've got a Schwarzenegger story. I'll tell you about that later. But seriously, what do you do, folks? Do you vote for Caitlyn Jenner? And there were people calling in yesterday. He said, yeah, absolutely. Others like, no, that's like unchristian. I'm curious to hear what you have to say about this. 844-747-8868. That's a toll-free number. 844-747-8868. I want you to listen to Caitlyn Jenner's campaign ad.
I've always been a dreamer.
California was once the envy of the world. We had what everyone else wanted. The American dream grew up here. Yet career politicians and their policies have destroyed that dream. It's been locked away, closed, shuttered, left in the dark, burned down. The government is now involved in every part of our lives. They've taken our money, our jobs, and our freedom. California needs a disruptor, a compassionate disruptor. I came here with a dream 48 years ago to be the greatest athlete in the world. Now I enter a different kind of race, arguably my most important one yet, to save California. I want to carry the torch for the parents who had to balance work and their child's education, for business owners who were forced to shut down, for pastors who were not able to be with their congregation, for the family who lost their home in a fire, for an entire generation of students who lost a year of education. This past year has redefined our career politicians as elitists and the people of California as the warriors, the kings, and the angels. We never take kindly to glass ceilings here. Instead, we shatter them.
This one's way out there.
We're the trailblazers, the innovators. California is facing big hurdles. Now, we need leaders who are unafraid to leap to new heights.
Governor, he does not want to finish record in this race. He wants the world record.
Who are unafraid to challenge and to change the status quo.
I want to prove that it is absolutely possible if we only do it together.
California, it's time to reopen our schools, reopen our businesses, reopen the Golden Gates. So I don't care if you're a Republican, Democrat, I'm running to be governor for all Californians, to reclaim our true identity, to bring back the gold to the Golden State.
What a tremendous victory!
Now is the time to achieve that summit, to be the shining city on the hill, and together we'll restore and renew the California dream.
It's about what happens from here. It's not just about one person. It's about all of us.
Was that like it? Was that a bear growling at the end? Was that John Cox's grizzly bear somehow made a guest appearance in Mrs. Doubtfire's campaign commercial? Jeez, Alou. So look, I mean, the reality is, and this is not a far-fetched hypothetical, the people of California are going to have to be, are going to have to make this choice. They're going to have to grapple with this question. Do you vote for Caitlyn Jenner if Caitlyn Jenner is the most conservative candidate? And again, there are a lot of unknowns here. I mean, we don't know if, I mean, Caitlyn Jenner can say whatever, but the reality is, what will Caitlyn Jenner do? What will he do if he's elected governor? Will he follow through on all these campaign promises? Will Caitlyn Jenner protect religious liberty in the state of California? And if Caitlyn Jenner, if he's the guy that's going to protect religious liberty, would you give him your vote? 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back, folks.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
So the National Border Patrol Council has announced they are endorsing Congresswoman Elise Stefanik to replace Liz Cheney as the new House GOP conference chair. Brandon Judd, making that announcement on Breitbart News. I just have to say this. I think the Republicans are making a very big mistake if they go down this path. And it's very easy for Republicans to get sucked into this identity politics game. But if, in fact, the point of having a chairperson leading the GOP conference in the House of Representatives, if the point is for that person to represent the conference, does Elise Stefanik, who just a few years ago, like 2019, was one of two Republicans who sided with Democrats to pass the Equality Act, is that somebody who is conservative enough to lead the conference? She said, well, Todd, will President Trump, and okay, yeah, I get Trump endorsed her. But as we know, the president has not necessarily gotten the best advice when it comes to picking nominees in some of these races. It's sort of hit or miss. And when you look at Liz Cheney's record, clearly she is more conservative than Elise Stefanik. Now, you may not agree with Liz Cheney on a lot of the things that I think she's done a terrible job as chairperson of the House conference. But do you think that Elise Stefanik is the way to go? And if not, who would you like to see in that position? Who would you like to see in the number three position in Republican leadership in the House of Representatives? 844-747-8868. What about Louie Gohmert? What about Jim Jordan? Andy Biggs? 844-747-8868. Let's go to the phones. Hot Springs, Arkansas. Vern hanging out with us. Vern, how's it going today?
Going great, Todd. I love your sense of humor. You're unbelievable.
Well, thanks, Bert. You know, you got to be able to kick back and laugh a time or two, or else you're going to jump off the cliff.
Well, I'll tell you what. First of all, Todd, before I make my comments, I got to ask you two questions. How long ago I'm listening to you on KARN Radio out of Little Rock? And I moved, how long ago was it that you came on the radio waves here in Little Rock?
Well, Vern, that's a good question. I would say maybe about a year or so ago.
Okay. And I got another question. Is it true that I, at least it's my understanding, that KARN Radio is going to discontinue your program?
Well, they are, Vern, but I want to make sure you understand, it has nothing to do with KARN. There's a guy named Dan Bongino, and Cumulus Radio, which owns KARN, they are forcing all of their radio stations to drop whoever they carry at that hour, and they're going to replace me with Dan Bongino. So it doesn't matter that we are, from my understanding, the top talk show in the market during this time slot. That doesn't matter to the bosses at corporate headquarters. They're cramming down the host they want. So this is really no fault of KARN at all. So they're sort of like the innocent victims in all of this.
Well, yeah, but who made the decision then to discontinue you? Was it the board of directors at the KARN Radio?
No, not at all, Vern. And real quick, because we're coming up on the bottom of the hour news here, that decision was made at corporate headquarters, which I think is in Atlanta. Is Cumulus? I think their headquarters is either in Atlanta or New York. But unfortunately, they made that decision. But the good news, Vern, is that you'll still be able to hear my commentaries on KARN, and you can listen to this radio program on your smartphone by downloading the KWAM app. So, folks, if you go to the App Store, it's free, KWAM, and just type in KWAM, and you'll be able to see the app there, and you'll be able to listen to us 24/7. Vern, thank you for the kind words, though. And thanks for the concern, but we're going to make it through it. It's all good. Hey, folks, we got to take a quick break. 844-747-8868, toll-free telephone number. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes radio program on this Friday edition. Let's get to the phones, 844-747-8868. Newport, North Carolina, Mike hanging out with us on the talk station. Hey, Mike, what's on your mind today? And we lost Mike. So you know what it was? It's so sunny out there. Mike was like, yeah, I got stuff to do, Starnes. Come on. Sorry about that. Mike, give us a call back if you can. This story from FoxNews.com. Colorado mom slams Southwest Airlines for removing family from plane over a three-year-old's mask. So the first concern here is Southwest Airlines. It's sort of the Greyhound bus of the air. You never know what's going to happen on a Southwest Airlines flight. But a woman by the name of Caroline Scott was on Fox and French, and she said, hey, look, we were discriminated against. Her three-year-old son, named Orion, would not wear a face mask, and he has some sort of a sensory processing disorder. That's what she says, and wearing a mask would be challenging for him. Scott alerted the airlines ahead of the flight and explained that her family did not need a special exemption and that she would be able to handle her son's needs. She said he can wear the mask, and he will, but if he had any frustration, they just needed to be given some leeway in dealing with that. And can you imagine having to go through all of this just to get your kid on an airplane to go? I'm telling you, folks, this is crazy. So anyway, they get to the airport, and they needed some sort of a supervisor's approval before they would be able to get on board the plane. And then they were told they could not get on board the jetliner. That was it. They would not be allowed onto the plane. I'm telling you, folks, the country's gone slap crazy. Let's go to the phones now. I think we have Mike back. All right, Mike, what's on your mind today?
Mr. Starnes, I was just wanting to comment on the young man who accosted the pregnant lady in line there. I'm not sure where they were at, he is a current problem of things that are going on in the country. But I think one of the bigger problems is that nobody stood up and got in between him and that pregnant woman and took up for her. I think that shows a pretty bad problem going on. So,
you know, Mike, that's an interesting perspective here, because you're right. Nobody, as far as we know, nobody tried to intervene and come to the woman's defense. Of course, in fairness, I don't think I saw that many people in the video that were around the woman. But, you know, again, that has been a problem in society where people are just not willing to go out there and stop bad guys from beating up innocent people.
Yeah, we see it on the news all the time. In fact, recently that Chinese lady is getting beat up on the sidewalk. You know what I mean? So we're losing. There's no such thing as chivalry anymore. Millennials have no idea what a gentleman is. I don't know. Maybe they're being taught by social media or by the media themselves instead of their parents. I don't know what the problem is.
Mike, that's a fair point you raise. And I'm curious. You know, I remember when I was a kid. You know, my dad raised us to say and to do that. If you see somebody that's being picked on or bullied, you step in, you intervene, and you help do something about that. What about you? How were you raised?
I was raised in the same way. In fact, I tell you, I have two sons and a daughter, and both my sons in high school, had new people that were even challenged, you know, I mean, mentally or whatever. And I know in two different cases, they had to get in front of some people to quit picking on these guys, you know. Anyway, so. That's to me, that is the norm. So we're losing that for some reason. And I tell you, I've just been recently. It's just hit me over and over and over again. We've got to stand up. We've just got to stand up and confront what's going on. We've got to do it. So,
Mike, I think you're right here. And the question is, how many other people are feeling the same way you do? And I would be curious to know, especially from dads. And again, this is a dad issue. Dads, how are you raising your sons? Are you raising your sons like Mike was raised, like he's raising his boys, to when you see someone who is being the victim of a crime or maybe they're being bullied, do you teach them to go and step in and stand in the gap and be that good Samaritan? 844-747-8868 is our toll-free number. Mike, thanks for the call. That's 844-747-8868. Or do you tell your kids, when you see trouble like that, you turn and you walk the other way? Do not get involved. Now, the Kentucky Derby was over the weekend, and there was a lot of chaos in Louisville surrounding the Black Lives Matter domestic terrorist. And the BLMers were marching around town, causing all sorts of mayhem, and they showed up at one of these fancy restaurants, one of these upscale restaurants. The kind where, you know, you don't go up to the counter and order your food. No, you sit down and it's a lovely tablecloth and they bring you china and you've got the silverware and a real glass and it's one of these fancy joints. So anyway, they have an outdoor dining area and all of a sudden these people are having a lovely meal and what happens? The BLMers show up and they start screaming and hollering and squawking and moaning and groaning and getting up into people's faces and yelling at them and hollering about all sorts of injustice. How dare you eat your caprese salad, sir? There are people dying in the streets. How dare you? Put down the goat cheese, you white privileged, white supremacist Klan member. I mean, it was just pretty ugly stuff. So anyway, they're getting real, it's getting real ugly, real ugly. And all of a sudden, this elderly man, this diner, stood up and the crowd was getting more aggressive and it was very clear they were about to go toe-to-toe with the people trying to eat their caprese salad and the goat cheese smeared across the lovely French baguette. And what did this guy do? He stood up. And he pulled out his gun. And something very interesting happened. When he did, guess what? The BLM crowd backed down. Black Lives Matter! Black Lives Matter! Put down that horrible white privilege caprese salad! And the gun comes out. Enjoy the salad, sir. And they walk away. That's what you got to do sometimes. 844-747-8868 is our telephone number. Let's go to Evan, listening to us on our great affiliate in Lafayette, Louisiana, KROF AM 960. Evan, how's it going down in Cajun country?
Oh, it's a nice, clear, sunny day, getting some work done.
Very nice. Well, I know you want to weigh in on chivalry. So, what's going on?
It's from my observation of family and friends, family, kids, in today's world. Gentleman was right. Chivalry is gone. It's out the window. It no longer exists. And I've actually talked to some of my nieces and nephews about it and my girlfriend's son about it. And the norm of what's being repeated in the schools and, as you said, social media, kids are being taught that boys are predators. We grow up to be male predators, and we shouldn't open doors for women, because when we do, we're expressing to that woman that she's incapable of doing it herself. And I think it's the fight against the masculinity of America that we just, men, young millennial men, just they don't care. They don't do it because it's either going to be taken as sexual harassment if they do it in the workplace, or if they do it for a girl at school, they're going to snap at them for doing it. And so they would just rather sit back and not care and not be that caregiver protector that has been part of our DNA since we first started walking.
Evan, this is, look, I hope chivalry is not dead, but I do think you are correct that that society looks at young boys and men in general as predators. And I think that by and large, we came through a period of American history where society wanted to medicate little boys just for being little boys. You know, the idea that if you've got a kid who a little boy who wants to go and run around and he gets a little fidgety, that all of a sudden, you know, he has attention deficit disorder and he needs to be medicated. God only knows what kind of long-term side effects we're going to see as a result of that kind of stuff, as well as this psychological conditioning that boys should be more like little girls and little girls should be more like little boys.
I'm going to add to that, and we'll either get beeped or get fined by the SEC, but I think a lot of that has to do with the growth of the homosexuality in younger and younger kids and teenagers, how they're even debating allowing sex changes to someone who's a minor. You know, these kids don't know when they're – think about when you were a kid. You know, girls give you the cooties. Ooh, you don't want to be touched by a girl. We knew growing up the difference between being a boy and a girl. And we get in our teens, and all of a sudden we kind of start getting attracted to girls. And so we buy them flowers. We take them on dates. We buy the dinner. We try to swoon them and romance them. But that's no longer taught. That's no longer the norm. And what we're teaching is there's absolutely no difference between a boy and a girl.
That's it.
That you shouldn't do that.
That's it.
And so, you know, yeah, these kids are confused from the age of five.
Oh, Evan, it's younger than that now. And we've got a story up on our website. There's a school district. Parents are livid. Their first graders were being taught from a school book about transgenderism that told the story of a two-year-old little boy that identifies as a little girl. This is all about indoctrination and forced, learned behavior. This is not natural.
That kid don't know if he's a boy or a girl. Now, he may enjoy hanging out and doing girly things. That doesn't make him be a girl unless we're
right.
Telling him, oh, so you like to go and paint, so you must be a girl, not a boy. And the kid doesn't know, so he's been growing up saying, oh, my teacher said I should be a girl because I like girly things. And, yeah, I see it all the time, and it aggravates me.
Evan, we got to leave it there. I want to say thank you for listening to us on KROF. We all have all of our great listeners down in Cajun country, Lafayette, Louisiana. All right, you know what, we're going to take a break. We've got a few folks on the lines, about one or two lines open right now. 844-747-8868. Is chivalry dead? We'll be right back.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
All right, folks, just a reminder here that we have our brand new app up and running. It's all you have to do, go to your app store and search for KWAM, and you'll see the Mighty 990 app, and you'll be able to listen to the Todd Starnes Radio Show wherever you are in America. Also, we've been dealing with a lot of censorship this week. President Trump getting booted from Facebook. You've got LifeSite News. We came under fire. What I want you to do right now, go to our website, toddstarnes.com, and subscribe to our free newsletter so you have direct access to our stories and you don't have to worry about the social media overlords censoring our copy. And it doesn't cost you any money. Again, toddstarnes.com. Let's go to the beautiful Commonwealth of Virginia. Lisa, listening to us on WLVA. Lisa, what's going on?
Chivalry is not dead. I went to a rally yesterday for Pete Snyder, who wants to be governor of Virginia, and a young man came up and wanted me to give him a signature for working on the schools and making sure that we have school boards that are proper. And later, he came over and saw that I had not gotten any barbecue. He got me barbecue and everything that went with it. And then
he saw that I had finished and asked if I wanted some more and did it. And I always tell gentlemen to do gentlemanly things. I said, I love gentlemen wherever I can find them, and I consider you one of them.
Well, Lisa,
I want men to be gentlemen and not be afraid of women, because we've been made to be afraid of each other.
You know, this is a fair point you're raising, Lisa, and I got to tell you something. This guy, so he not only got you barbecue, he asked if you wanted seconds, a second helping.
Yes. Yes, and I told him I like slaw, and he got more slaw for me. It was just wonderful. And you just feel like a lady.
He got her. You know, I got to tell you, Lisa, I got to tell you something. Here in Memphis, we have a lot of gentlemen around here. But I got to tell you, when it comes to barbecue and second helpings, I think it's every man for himself. You don't want to mess around with barbecue.
After me.
Well, look at that. Now, Lisa, are you a married lady?
I am a widow, so I really appreciate this.
Oh yeah, he may have been wooing you. You never know.
Young enough to be my son. He was young enough to be my son. Really wonderful.
Well, you know what? It was very thoughtful, Lisa, and you're right. Somebody raised that young fellow right, and I'm glad to know that you're one of those ladies out there that you appreciate gentlemen being gentlemen, and you can appreciate chivalry. By the way, how was the barbecue? Was it good?
It was great, and I called him this morning because he gave me his card, and he was blown away. And
is
I said, just
right?
Keep it up. We women appreciate that.
Well, I just think that's kind. Lisa, thank you for sharing that great story. And what a nice thing. Grace, I'm just curious. When Mr. Call Screener was wooing you, did he bring you second helpings of barbecue?
Well, here's the thing. When a woman says, I'm not hungry when you go to eat somewhere.
She's starving?
She's hungry for sure. So he would always share with me when I would say, I'm not hungry.
You're at the Olive Garden, and there's only one breadstick left?
Oh, I get the breadstick.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, so you married the guy.
Oh, yeah. He also, like, religiously, when we were dating, and even now, tries his best to always open car doors, and he gets mad if I, like, jokingly mad if I'm, like, in front of him about to walk out a door. He's like, wait! And he, like, gets the door.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
So he's a gentleman.
Yes.
So his parents raised him right.
Yes, they did.
You see, this is what it's all about.
Yep.
And I know that she said she's a widow lady,
mm-hmm.
but she said that he's young enough to be her son. But you know, these days, I mean, look at President Trump and Melania.
Gosh.
There's a little bit of distance there.
There's also just nice people doing nice things out there that's not being highlighted.
Oh, well, okay. Yes, that too. But again, I was
reading into stuff, Todd.
I was. It was the second helping of barbecue. And I'm like, wait a second. Wait, what's going on here? But I'm just kidding. Lisa, we love you. We love you. All right, folks. Wow, what a great week. Welcome all of our new affiliates. We've got more radio stations joining us in the coming weeks. And we're just so honored that you have chosen to hang out with us and our great team. Want to say thanks to Alan and JP, Avery and Kyle, Grace. Folks, get out there. Have a great Friday. Whatever you do, be sure to go to church this weekend. Be good, America.